Good morning, welcome back to Nachyami. Today we are going to be learning together Mizmor Lamed, the 30th psalm in the book of Tehillim. This is an extremely well-known Mizmor. It features in the davening many different times. Let's take a quick look at this together. In terms of overview and structure, this is the way we always start. Remember that when looking at the Mizmorim together, what we're doing is we're going to always look at five steps. One is the overview and structure. Then we're going to look at the themes. Then we're going to look at events behind the Mizmor, places in the tefillah this mizmor appears, and finally one or two psukim or words in the spotlight. So let's start at the very beginning. In terms of overview and structure, there are 13 psukim in this mizmor, and there are four general sections. The first pasuk is actually just the kotevet, the inscription, which is Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. This is a song which is sung upon the dedication of the house of David. Then the four sections that follow this kotevet, this inscription, are: the first section is Beis to Dalet, that's Psukim 2 to 4, which is thanking Hashem. Then 5 to 6, Hey to Vov, is calling on the Chasidim, Zamru Lashem Chasidov, to thank Hashem. Psukim Zayin to Yud, a very heavy section, is where there is imminent danger facing the person in this situation. And finally, Yud Aleph to Yud Gimel at the end is the section in which the person is explaining how he has been saved, how he's experienced salvation, and he thanks Hashem directly, turning to Hashem specifically rather than describing him in third person. In terms of the themes of this mizmor seems to be said by a person who is in mortal danger, who is begging for help and thanking Hashem for the salvation he is experiencing. The question that we have to deal with is, what is the mortal danger facing the Meshorer, facing this narrator? So on the one hand, we see the word towards the beginning of Vatir Po'eni, that you healed me, which seems like the suffering was sickness. But if you go a little further, he uses the term He'emadato l'harari oz, you established me in strength, which sounds like fighting against enemies. And just a little bit later, Hofachto mispedi l'mocholi, you turned my mourning into success, into salvation, into a song. And that sounds like it's recovering from mourning, which leads the Mefarshim to say that maybe it's all types of mortal danger which are rolled into one as a person experiences them throughout their lives. This is the mizmor, this is the psalm which is said in response to it. How do the begging and thanking fit together? You see, thanking and begging are actually said at different time points. Begging is when a person is in a situation of difficulty, and thanking is when a person has exited that situation. So how does this mizmor operate? When is it actually said in relationship to the experience? So as we've seen previously, there's actually three ways of looking at it. There's more, but we're gonna stop with three right now. One is that the person who is saying this is currently in mortal danger, and he is thanking and he is begging Hashem that he should be saved. And when he will be saved, he wants to be able to thank him. So he is envisioning what he will say when he gets out of it. The other option is no, he's already saved. He's already experienced the mortal danger. He's now looking back, and the current descriptions are thanking, and the recalled descriptions are those when he prayed when in difficult danger. The third option is that he's already saved now, but he's thinking about future times where he may stumble, she may stumble, and therefore begs for future salvation. And going with this third approach, it actually gives us a very interesting perspective, specifically about this Mizmor Tehillim, because one of the statements, which is such a very human statement, is Va'ani Amarti B'Shalvi Bal Emot Le'olam. I said in Pasuk Zion that in my salvation, in my Shalvi, in my serenity, I will never be shaken, I will never be moved. And that's a very human statement, to think that when they have a sense of security, that ultimately they're safe until the boat is rocked. Not because of their doing, because of life circumstances. And at that point in time, a person realizes, and this is what the Meshorer is realizing, is that when life hits, then there's a realization that ultimately they are vulnerable, they are not secure, and they need to always be asking for salvation, even when it's a cloudless day. That seems to be the theme of the Mizmor. In terms of events behind the Mizmor, this actually relates to a very important question. And that is about the first pasuk, about the first verse in this Mizmor. It goes, Mizmor Shir, this is a song of Chanukas Habayis LeDavid, of the dedication of the house to David. So first of all, that doesn't seem to be in consonance with the rest of the Mizmor. The Mizmor seems to be talking about a person in mortal danger and thanking Hashem. What does that have to do with any dedication of any house? More than that, David HaMelech never dedicated the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech died before the Beis HaMikdash was ever established. He was not allowed to do that. So the sentence itself is internally contradictory, as well as the fact that it doesn't seem to be in consonance with the rest of the Mizmor. What is really going on over here? There are numerous different approaches, but we're going to just take and appreciate a few of them. The Rashi and the Radak quote a Gemara in Shabbos, which described the Gemara is on Shabbos Lamed Amud Aleph, which described how David HaMelech was mocked by many people who believed that David HaMelech was ultimately doomed to failure because of his sin, because of his mistake with Bathsheba. They believed that David HaMelech was ultimately unchosen after that experience, and he deserved to be rejected completely. And in fact, that rumor continued even after his death, until the point that the Beis HaMikdash was built by none other than the son, who was a product of the union of him and Bathsheba, which is Shlomo HaMelech. At such point, when that happened, ultimately, that was a certain vindication of David HaMelech and the fact that he was able to do teshuva from that. He was able to recover spiritually from that. So therefore, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LaDavid, when the house was dedicated, it was dedicated to David. In which way? Because now he was vindicated for his entire life of accusations when the house was ultimately consecrated by his son. It is worth noticing that the Eitz Yosef adds, if you look at the acronym of the first Pasuk, if you look at the words, the first letter of every word in the first Pasuk, there's only five words, it is actually gives us the word Lemoshcha, which means to anoint, referring to David HaMelech's anointing as a king. And if you leave out one of the letters, without the word Chanukas, the Ches, it actually gives the word Shlomo. Lemoshcha Shlomo. And Shlomo HaMelech is ultimately anointed. That's what this Mizmor is talking about. That is the release of tension that we are referring to. The Ibn Ezra says, quoting Yesh Amrim, no, they were referring to the future Beit HaMikdash, the second or third Beit HaMikdash, and the tumult and the disaster which is being described is the Jewish existence in the diaspora, the Jewish existence in exile, which is being described over here. Ibn Ezra himself says that maybe it refers to the making of David HaMelech's own house. Of course, David HaMelech did not make them build the Beis HaMikdash, but he certainly built his own palace, and we have descriptions of that. And we in Shmuel Bey's Perakei, we talk about how he built his own palace, the area of Ir David, which therefore, in a certain sense, might be referring to David HaMelech's own personal life, which is being described over here, how he establishes his house despite his enemies, despite his sickness, despite the castigators on the outside. And ultimately, the Malbim says a very completely different idea. He says that perhaps the house over here is not referring to a house of stone. It is referring to the house of the body, of the human being. It refers to the house which encases the neshama, the soul. And this Mizmor is about the sickness of David. And David HaMelech, in a certain sense, says he's dedicating his house, the reconstitution of his body upon its salvation, to Hashem, because Hashem allowed him to be able to remain in this world. And therefore, he's talking about the bodily health that he was granted, the mikdash of the body. That's when Hashem says, "Also li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham," when Hashem says, "Make me a sanctuary and I'll dwell amongst you," it means in your presence, amongst you yourself. That is what's being referred to over here, says the Malbim, a radically different way of looking at this, but a very fascinating perspective. Finally, there is another option, which is the Psikta Rabasi in Pisca Yud Ches, talks about how this may be referring to a future time, the times of Esther Hamalka, the times of Purim. And it refers to how phrase by phrase we refer to the salvation which went on then. In fact, the Gemara in Megillah learns out that the fact that we say the Megillah in the night and the daytime is learnt out from the Pasuk in Lemanya Zamecha Chavod V'lo Yidom, that my Chavod should praise you and not be quiet, and that refers to at day and night. Be it as it may, that's another opportunity. It seems to be a little more far-fetched as to why it would be LeDavid necessarily. In terms of places in the Tefillah where this Mizmor appears, this appears actually a few times. First of all, it is at the introduction of Psukei Dezimra every single day, Shabbos and Yom Tov in most Nuschois. And the reason is because it has the Pasuk in it which says, V'laboiker Rina. In the morning, there is song. So this introduces the Zimra, the song that a person says on a daily basis, where a person realizes that they had, in a certain sense, they were asleep, their soul was separate from their body, and Rina, now it has been reconstituted, and for that they sing. Then there's another option, and that is that it said on the days of Chanukah as according to some nuschos, after davening. It's the extra added psalm at the extra on the davening of Chanukah. This could relate to the fact, according to some sources, that actually there was a special psalm which was said for by the Levim at the times of the second Beis Hamikdash when after Chanukah. Not clear if that was actually the truth, but nonetheless, today we still say it as the Mizmor Shir after the days of Chanukah. It is also said, the Mishnah Bikurim tells us in Perigimel Mishnah Dada, that it's said when people would bring Bikurim. And that relates to the idea and the theme of a person not feeling complete and self-reliant. When a person brings in their crops, they have to say this mizmor to remember to themselves that b'shalvi lo yamot. When a person says that I won't be shaken in my serenity, they need to remember that every moment is dependent on Hashem. Finally, we'll conclude with just one pasuk in the highlight, and that is the 13th and last pasuk, l'laman yezamercha chavod, that the chavod should sing to you, v'lo yudom, and should not be quiet, Hashem Elokai lo elam odeko, Hashem my God, I will always eternally thank you. The word kavod over here refers to the soul, the neshama, which is expressing its wisdom and its gravitas. And when it says lo yidom, that my soul will not keep quiet, the Rishna, we used to say that please don't make us keep quiet because of our suffering. Meaning to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, never give us moments in life where we have to keep silent because we don't know what to say or because it's too painful. Allow us always to be expressing your song. Allow us to always be singing your praise. Elokai lo'olam oideko. Hashem HaGod, let us always pray you. Let's always have something to be thankful for. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.